Pampers Cruisers 360 is the must-have diaper to help keep your baby from taking it right off, which, if you've experienced this, can lead to complete chaos. With its 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your baby for a comfortable fit, your active baby can move freely. Think of it as baby yoga pants. Cruisers 360 offers a gap-free fit and has a blowout barrier at the back of the diaper to help stop any unwanted disasters. The best part? That stretchy waistband makes it so easy to change your wiggly baby, who is always on the move and can't be stopped. Just rip the sides to remove and roll it up with the disposal tape on the back. Voila! Pampers Cruisers are available in sizes 3 to 7 and now feature fun new prints. Pair with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess without fear of tearing. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
This podcast is brought to you by the film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn with an incredible ensemble that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, and Whoopi Goldberg. Ezra is a funny and endearing story about Max, a divorced father struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When faced with difficult decisions about the future, they embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Deadline calls Ezra a touching testament to the power of love. In theaters May 31st.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, I'm Laura Vanderkam. I'm a mother of five, an author, journalist, and speaker.
And I'm Sarah Hart Unger, a mother of three, practicing physician, writer, and course creator. We are two working parents who love our careers and our families.
Welcome to Best of Both Worlds. Here we talk about how real women manage work, family, and time for fun. From figuring out childcare to mapping out long-term career goals, we want you to get the most out of life.
Welcome to Best of Both Worlds. This is Laura. This episode is airing at the very end of April of 2024. We are going to be talking how we can rock that month that we now call Maycember, or maybe Mayhem. There's lots of ways people are referring to this. We'll figure out what Sarah puts in the actual show notes as the title of this episode. But the reason we are doing this is because May can be an incredibly full time of year for people with school-aged kids, right? So there are recitals, performances, end-of-year concerts, award ceremonies, various the end-of-school-year events for your kids, and for those of us up north, lots of community stuff, too, that happens in kind of that season in May to the beginning of June where it's finally warm enough to do things outdoors, but before everyone disappears for the summer. So lots of things associated with that. But unlike December, at work, you are not gearing up for everyone to be off at a certain point. So a lot of big work stuff just keeps rolling. So we wanted to share some ideas and some thoughts on how to make May a little bit more orderly because, you know, complexity is not the enemy. Many of us have very complex lives, and that's fine. You just have to manage all the moving parts. Chaos is the enemy, and that we can ward off. In this episode, we're going to be talking about kind of a three-part process for warding off the chaos, making sure practically that we don't get overwhelmed, finding the right balance between work and the rest of life, or life and life, as the case may be, and finally managing our energy so that the month feels sustainable. So just a quick side note, May is a big month in the Unger household, I guess, with birthdays, anniversaries, right? What was your most memorable birthday, Sarah, a May baby here?
I feel like the ones that were memorable were not necessarily the most fun? Is it weird that I immediately was like COVID and being mad in 2020 that I didn't get to celebrate my 40th birthday? Like, what's wrong with me that that's what I thought of? But I also had a particularly lovely birthday pre-kids in 2009 where I recall champagne tasting and I consulted my blog and the memory was correct. Or maybe my memory was because I had seen that post on my blog. I don't know, but it looked awesome. And maybe I can do that for my 50th or something like that.
Sounds awesome. Yeah.
This year, though, I'm like a little sad because I am someone who tries not to work on my birthday. And I recognize that like that can be seen as a little extra as an adult. But at the same time, birthdays are limited. Like we only get a given number of them. And I try to celebrate that day, but I'm running so low on vacation time that this year I'm going to celebrate my birthday observed on the 19th or 21st so that I can still have a day for me, but not use up precious paid time off.
Yeah. And you guys got married in May as well, if I recall correctly.
Yes, that was not because we like romantic blooms or the spring fever or anything like that. That is because it was between medical school finishing and residency starting. And we wanted to pick a time when we wouldn't be stressed by either of those things. Now, I was not actually done with medical school. I had another year left. So we did get married as Dr. and Mrs. before becoming Dr. and Doctor a year later. But it worked out beautiful timing wise because I think we had a few weeks off between those two things. And no like open loops, you know, it was like no projects were due or anything because Josh was starting something fresh and we got to go to Hawaii for like 14 days or something like that.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was great timing.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. Well, and how about May, December this year? Like anything big on the calendar for you guys this month?
I mean, May is just always like a lot and I have to manage my expectations around May, as we'll talk about, because I go into it thinking like, oh, it's so magical. There's Mother's Day. There's my birthday. There's our anniversary. There's Memorial Day. Oh, my gosh. And it's like it just turns into being so
many things. And you still have to work and take care of your kids.
Yes.
And everything else. Yes.
Yes. So
empty the dishwasher or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. It just keeps going.
But my focal point for May of 2024 is hopefully going to be the Bayshore Marathon, which Josh and I are both running. We're going away for our anniversary weekend, spending it in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where this marathon takes place. I know a marathon at the end of May doesn't sound great from a weather perspective, but historically, many years, this actually does have lovely weather. I guess it's far enough north that they can have 40s and 50s in the morning. So hopefully this will be a nice, cool year, and I will definitely let you all know how it goes. I'm hoping to Boston qualify, but I may not. And either way, I'm going to give it the best I can and I'll let you know what happens.
Yeah, even in this part of the world, the weather is completely unpredictable. I mean, it's mostly nice, but it can be varied from day to day. And I remember I sort of soured on the idea of even doing races that happen on specific days because it was an early June half marathon. And the day after the half marathon, it was 60 degrees at 7 a.m. And that was lovely. I would have happily run 13 miles in that. But the particular day that this half marathon happened, it was like 84 degrees by 8 a.m. And it was ludicrous. Like it felt terrible. I was swimming in the air trying to get to the finish line. So I was like, well, you know, if I want to run 13 miles, I could just run 13 miles on a day where the weather cooperates, as opposed to timing it for this certain day that they happen to have booked the streets for the races. So anyway, that was a digression. We have a couple of cool things going on. Jasper and I are singing in Brahms' Requiem, although that is late April and will probably have happened by the time this episode airs. It should have. I think it's the weekend before this. We have Sam's eighth grade graduation stuff coming up in May, which I was trying to remember back, like, what did we do for Jasper? But that was 2021, and we had just gotten through hybrid school. Like, they had just come back to full-time school, and I don't think they had something that everyone was there for at the same time. So, yeah, that was kind of a things you didn't do. And then Ruth and I are going to be taking a trip together somewhere cool, so I'm looking forward to that. So it'll be a lot of stuff on top of the usual thing. But we were just kind of talking about, like, how do you know that you have busy times of year coming up? And I think we have both noticed this. And it happens in December, of course, that I know what the dates of the December weekends are. Usually in October, but definitely by the beginning of November, I know what those weekend dates are. And it is the same thing in May. I knew what all the late April into May weekend dates were probably in January, February this year. I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be quite a stretch of time, because you've looked at your calendar for those dates because there are things you're already putting on there. And so you keep looking at what the dates are and get a sense of what the landscape of that month happens to be. And there are lots of times a year where I don't have that. You know, it's like you just figure out the weekends a couple weekends ahead of time. I don't know.
And their events momentous enough to be planned out that far in advance. That's the big thing. Like, these are big things. It's the end of your show. It's the recital. Like, it's not just something like that, just, you know, a birthday party that came up. It's like these bigger things. So that's how you know it's going to be a wild ride.
Going to be a wild ride. But the upside is it's kind of a fun, wild ride. I mean, you know, in many cases, one would assume that the reason you have all this stuff going on is because you have a full calendar at work, right? Like, you know, people want you to do things. Your kids are involved in lots of fun stuff as they're figuring out their lives, and you have celebrations and you're involved in your community. These are all wins. So I think it's also helpful to approach May-cember mayhem with a yay mindset as much as a, oh my goodness, buckle in, here we go. So first step, don't get overwhelmed. Take some time and make sure that you have everything on your calendar. Like, be systematic. Go through those emails from school for each of your kids. Go through the calendars or emails from any sports or activities that they are doing, or for any community organizations you are part of. Like, if you are part of a house of worship that tends to have a lot of sort of end of year or seasonal things that are going on at that time of year, you want to make sure those are on your calendar as well. Work, obviously, you probably have some stuff there, but if you know there are big deadlines in early June, it might behoove you to start thinking about that a little earlier, given that time outside of work might feel a little bit more compressed. But make sure it's all recorded in your one source of truth calendar, because you are better off actively choosing to not do something that is on there versus forgetting it even existed. Right, Sarah?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say going even granular as you possibly can, possibly more than is offered at times. So a lot of times school will throw out like save the dates, but I'm like, well, also what time is that specific event? I actually just got one for Genevieve's kindergarten graduation. Now, this actually was June, but it was like, it's June 5th. I'm like, okay, that's great, but I have a full day with patients and I'd rather not cancel the entire day if the event is at 5 p.m. I have no idea. So ask for specifics if they're not volunteered, because you're going to want to understand how all of those pieces fit. We did talk about calendaring very recently in an episode, but everything I get goes into my Hobonichi. That is my source of truth. And I have not committed to anything if it's not in there, if that makes sense. Like, anytime I'm confirming something, it gets written in there. So I always have a clear understanding of exactly how crowded things are so that I can then start to say no, or start to cancel things if it really just gets too overwhelming.
Yeah. And generally, weekly planning works pretty well. I mean, for the vast majority of life, I mean, I've talked a lot about planning on Thursday or Friday for the upcoming week. And this will, for the most part, give you a good sense of what is truly happening. Like, you can see the landscape for the next week and you can figure out your priorities for the week, you know, based on larger goals, sure. But having a good mindset of the upcoming week tends to be enough most of the time. But when you get into these really sort of thicker times of years in terms of the stuff that is on your calendar, it might behoove you to look ahead an extra week or two. So when you are doing your Thursday or Friday planning, look at the upcoming week for sure, but then flip forward or scroll forward on your electronic calendar and look at the next 2 weeks. Definitely the week in front of the week you're looking at, and maybe even the week after that. Because if there is something big coming up that you're going to want to think about more than a week ahead of time, you probably want to get some of that on your calendar earlier. So as an example, if you have teenagers that you're going to be helping with prom shopping, okay, like, you may not want to be doing that on Wednesday for Saturday.
there's many things that could go wrong in that scenario where you're shopping for a dress on Wednesday for Saturday or trying to find the tux at the rental place on Wednesday for Saturday. So, you know, you might want to pull that forward another week or two and make sure it's on there. Or, you know, if you've got a big work conference toward mid-May, probably you want to know that and really have that in your mental model a week or more than a week ahead of time so that you can reach out to people, make sure you have prepared to make the most of this time if you are choosing to be there during this very busy season.
Yeah, for me, it's also for like the special edition of that is paying really close attention to where those call weeks are, because I know they mess up not just that week, but often the week after. And fun fact, I do have one in May, but it is like the special kind where I get overnight coverage. So it's not quite as bad as the usual.
Awesome.
But yeah, that looking ahead is key.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick ad break and then we'll be back with more on figuring out the right balance during this month.
Today's episode is sponsored in part by Thrive Cosmetics. I am a speed demon when it comes to my makeup routine. I have approximately 5 minutes, or maybe three, between showering and starting my routine of getting the kids out the door for school. And so I'm always looking for products to keep things super streamlined and easy for my everyday look. Thrive Cosmetics for years has been part of that. I've discussed the Brilliant Eye Brightener before, which is a serious workhorse for making me look more awake. But lately, I'm also super into their Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. It's a tubing mascara that lengthens lashes and is super easy to remove as well, which is key because my makeup removal routine is just as streamlined. You can feel great about shopping at Thrive because for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. So refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/bestof. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/bestof, BESTOF, for 10% off your first order.
Pampers Cruisers 360 is the must-have diaper to help keep your baby from taking it right off, which, if you've experienced this, can lead to complete chaos. With its 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your baby for a comfortable fit, your active baby can move freely. Think of it as baby yoga pants. Cruisers 360 offers a gap-free fit and has a blowout barrier at the back of the diaper to help stop any unwanted disasters. The best part? That stretchy waistband makes it so easy to change your wiggly baby, who is always on the move and can't be stopped. Just rip the sides to remove and roll it up with the disposal tape on the back. Voila! Pampers Cruisers are available in sizes 3 to 7 and now feature fun new prints. Pair with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess without fear of tearing. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This podcast is brought to you by the new film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn, and with an incredible ensemble cast that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, Rainn Wilson, and Vera Farmiga, along with newcomer William A. Fitzgerald. The film is an endearing and often funny story about Max, a divorced father and stand-up comedian living with his father and struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When forced to confront difficult decisions about the future, Max and Ezra embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Ezra is an endearing and often funny exploration of a family determined to find their way through life's complexities with humor, compassion, and heart. Deadline calls the film a touching testament to the power of love. IndieWire says it's funny and moving. And according to Next Best Picture, Ezra approaches autism with heart and authenticity. Only in theaters nationwide, May 31st.
So we are back talking all things Maycember, mayhem, how we're going to rock this month, even though it is a very, very busy time for a great many of our listeners. So yeah, Sarah, I mean, when you have something like call week, and you know that you're on and you have big stuff during it, like what's your approach for something like that?
Really more looking what I can get done beforehand, like to make sure I'm not going to be recording episodes
like during call, which is very, very stressful. And then also trying to make sure that the week after isn't too cluttered. This is very much easily more said than done. Like I try, I really do try, but then every once in a while stuff comes up that is fairly urgent. And since it can't fall on the call week, it's going to fall in those two flexible slots on the Tuesday and Thursday. But to the extent that I can, I try to minimize that kind of stuff. And I definitely think this is the time to, you know, during May when we have so many things on top of each other, this is not the time to have less childcare. This is maybe the time to have a conversation about, hey, summer is going to be a little bit slower, but this month might actually have to be, I may need like a little bit of extra support just so we can get through all of this stuff and enjoy it and not feel necessarily stressed out about all the pieces fitting together.
Yeah, I think it's great to, as you're looking forward, spot conflicts ahead of time so you can make a plan. I mean, because obviously you could call in other relatives for special events, you can split duties, and all this is much easier if you know about it ahead of time. We'll put in a plug for if you have older kids and younger kids, hiring a sitter for the little one so you're not chasing a little one around a ceremony that you're hoping to pay attention for the big kids, for instance. That's I know it doesn't always work, but it might be worth building that into your model just so you can enjoy yourself a little bit more. But yeah, side note, I mean, you know, we often talk about there, it's the work-life conflicts that seem to get the headlines, but I have found that there's a lot of like life conflicts, and especially in May. If you have multiple kids, there's things that happen at the same time for different kids, especially if they're in different schools. Those tend not to spawn the overwrought think pieces of like, oh, I was, you know, missed whatever, the softball banquet because my plane was delayed. It's like, well, I missed the softball banquet because the other kid had the last ballet swim meet at the same time. Yes. So, you know, I don't know. What do I do with that? Can't get rid of the kids. I guess we just accept that life doesn't always go as we might wish it were. But you actually have, Sarah, a work-life conflict in May this year that you kind of made a decision on.
And no overwrought think piece accompany it. Because honestly, like this stuff does conflict. And sometimes we might make one choice and sometimes we might make another. And having to make those choices doesn't mean that it's bad that you're working or something like that. So I guess I'll share that like my annual endocrinology meeting that I usually go to is being held the first weekend in May, as it usually is. And I had a kid related thing that this kid had been talking about. And I was like, you know what? I don't really want to miss it. I mean, it's a once a year thing and there's kind of like a tryout piece of it. And I just felt like I wanted to be there for that. And I'm like, you know, this meeting does come every year. I can go next year. And truthfully, if this event did happen again next year, it wouldn't be the first time. And so I think I would choose the work event next time. And we can make one choice sometimes and one choice the next time. And then since I made that decision, another kid event came up that same weekend, which I would have been annoyed to miss. So now I'm like very much grateful that I kind of just preemptively made this choice. But again, like sometimes I think, as Laura mentioned, people take this a step further and say like, oh my gosh, I just can't do it. And it's like, actually, I can. Not every meeting is mandatory. And we can make different decisions different times. And that's okay.
Yeah. But the reason, of course, to look ahead is because if there are avoidable conflicts, then obviously, you know, it'd be better to like, you know, somebody wants to meet and they're like Wednesday or Thursday. And you're like Wednesday. And then it turns out that Wednesday was the huge end of school thing. Probably nobody would have cared if you'd said Thursday. But now you've said Wednesday. And now you have to dig yourself out of this or deal with it in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, the further ahead you can spot conflicts, the more ways you can come up with to solve them. One thing I've always appreciated, I've usually been able to go, but our nursery school, our preschool, used to call it the Mother's Day tea or something like that. And then they began calling it the special person's tea. And that is so much better because it's like, you send a special person. It could be grandpa. It could be your older sibling if they happen to have a day off school or something. You know, it's just there's so many ways that it could be differently interpreted when it's a special person's tea. And so I think that's a really cool idea. So one question for people to think about as they are looking at their work-life balance or work-life fit or whatever you want to refer to it as in the course of May is, do you actually have enough time to work? Now, this may not be the normal way that people think of work-life conflict. It's usually that work needs to dial down because we have so much stuff going on. But we have both had the experience of when you do have flexible hours and days in your schedule, often you put the stuff there because you can. And then your work hours wind up getting quite compressed. I have certainly had this experience with, you know, have kid meetings during the school day. I mean, I've had physical therapy going on for months, which hopefully by the time this airs, that is over. But, you know, that when there's enough stuff during the work day, you can wind up with fewer hours to work than you may need to actually meet your obligations. So you need to be careful with this. I know, Sarah, you've encountered this reality as you have your Tuesday and Thursday entrepreneurial days. I'll be like texting Sarah and she's like, I'm at the dentist.
I'm at the oral surgeon. I'm at the dentist. I'm at the OBGYN. I'm at the kid eye appointment. Yeah, like it's, I swear I have three relatively healthy children and yet the sheer number of various things they need to go to that are at least medically aligned is high. I think I counted once. It was like 19 a year or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a lot.
Anyway, so I mean, there's two ways of thinking of this. There is the, okay, I need to figure out my strategy to have more work hours outside of those days. And then there's also the acceptance that some months are going to be more productive than others. And so sometimes giving myself that permission that like, this is not the month I'm going to take on XYZ big project is fine, especially if I have a month when I know that I can be really, really focused and get after it. And I'm already thinking about May. As honestly, I don't think it's going to be a month of a lot of extra work, but April could be a really good month for extra work. I have no call week. I have really like no travel. Like I can really take my Tuesdays and Thursdays and try to keep them as clear as possible. Working ahead. I know we're super ahead in our Best of Both Worlds recording, so that's kind of awesome. And so
lightning to strike us, Sarah.
I know. These are all tracks are going to be deleted and we're going to have to record them in May. All of them. Just kidding. But, you know, like as Cal brought up during his interview a few weeks back, you know, sometimes the seasonality can be helpful. And I do think May and December for me are probably, well, December is special because I have a lot of kind of year ending stuff that I have to lean into professionally. So I can't do a lot of extra things in addition to that. But I think May is kind of a month of like, I think I do just have to be okay with working a little bit less, especially a May when I have a call week in there and a couples trip with my husband. So that's kind of how I'm going to solve things this year. But that means April and June are going to be really kind of devoted more to productivity and trying to keep those Tuesdays and Thursdays clear.
Yeah. And even if you do have flexibility and wind up covering a lot of this stuff, you can be smart about when you schedule it too. I mean, batching things as much as possible. I've certainly wound up with batching kid doctor appointments to the extent that that was possible. I think I did 3 and 2 this year, which was better than going 5 times. We're doing everyone's dentist appointments in one day. That will have been long over by the time this airs, but can report back on how that went. Or just asking for later in the afternoon appointments. I mean, this is kind of upside of the kid not missing as much school, if it's, you know, something with that. But it's also for those of us who do tend to be more productive in the morning, like a 10 a.m. appointment is just a killer, right? Because that's your entire productive hours then. Whereas if you have an appointment at 2:30, you might have been able to work from 8 to 2 and you're getting most of what you probably would have gotten done between 8 and 5, done between 8 and 2 if you a tendency to, you know, kind of not be as productive in the afternoon. So just being very careful of that. And then if you do wind up taking a lot of during the daytime, being totally okay with scheduling some night and weekend sessions to make it up is not necessarily a sign that something tragic has occurred if you are working on the weekend. I know some people feel that way, but I would encourage people not to be so precious about it for certain kinds of work. Because like if you took 3 hours off on Tuesday, the time has to come from somewhere, and unless you are reducing your responsibilities. So you taking that means, especially if you have a partner and they did not take that, that that person should probably take 3 hours on Saturday so you can make up whatever you did on Tuesday. And there is nothing wrong with that. It is just how the world kind of works.
Agree. It is not tragic. I did record a podcast episode at 6:30 p.m. It was the Best Laid Plans episode, and it wasn't my favorite ever time to be doing it. But honestly, if I have a deadline, it's not the worst either. I'm like, it's not 11 o'clock. It's not 3 a.m. Like, I can talk about planners at 6 p.m. It's okay.
Absolutely. We can talk about planners at any point of the day. Well, we're going to take a quick ad break, and then we'll be back with talking about ways that we can manage our energy, which is sort of a topic of whether we are working at 3 a.m. or not.
Pampers Cruisers 360 is the must-have diaper to help keep your baby from taking it right off, which, if you've experienced this, can lead to complete chaos. With its 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your baby for a comfortable fit, your active baby can move freely. Think of it as baby yoga pants. Cruisers 360 offers a gap-free fit and has a blowout barrier at the back of the diaper to help stop any unwanted disasters. The best part? That stretchy waistband makes it so easy to change your wiggly baby, who is always on the move and can't be stopped. Just rip the sides to remove and roll it up with the disposal tape on the back. Voila! Pampers Cruisers are available in sizes 3 to 7 and now feature fun new prints. Pair with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess without fear of tearing. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This podcast is brought to you by the new film Ezra from Bleecker Street, directed by Tony Goldwyn, and with an incredible ensemble cast that includes Robert De Niro, Bobby Cannavale, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, Rainn Wilson, and Vera Farmiga, along with newcomer William A. Fitzgerald. The film is an endearing and often funny story about Max, a divorced father and stand-up comedian living with his father and struggling to co-parent his autistic son, Ezra. When forced to confront difficult decisions about the future, Max and Ezra embark on a cross-country road trip that has a transcendent impact on both their lives. Ezra is an endearing and often funny exploration of a family determined to find their way through life's complexities with humor, compassion, and heart. Deadline calls the film a touching testament to the power of love. IndieWire says it's funny and moving. And according to Next Best Picture, Ezra approaches autism with heart and authenticity. Only in theaters nationwide, May 31st.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
We are back talking about all things Maycember, mayhem, how we manage the month of May. We've been talking about making sure you know when everything is happening and being able to spot conflicts before they occur, making sure that you have a work-life balance that works for you, which can include creating some extra times to work if a lot of your work hours wind up being taken up with personal things. And that can certainly happen for people who have more flexible jobs in May. So this last part we want to talk about is how we manage our energy, because we want to do things that add to our energy levels. And one really cool idea we heard from one of our Patreon community members. So Mother's Day occurs in May. And I think in many of our minds, we have the idea of like things we might do to add to our energy levels as a celebration of our motherhood. People want to, you know, go to the spa or, you know, have a day to themselves or all that. But that is probably not how your family wants to celebrate Mother's Day with you. Like they, you know, if you have a partner, they might take the kids for a few hours or whatever, but like they're going to want to do stuff with you. Or if you have, you know, extended family around, you might wind up being part of celebrations that are more aimed at kind of family matriarchs or something. And so it can wind up being a little bit, maybe not what you were hoping for on that particular day. And so if that is the case, our Patreon community members suggested having Mother's Day observed. So when a holiday that like the government or post office would have off falls on a weekend, they then have it observed at some point, like on the Monday. So you can do that, you know, instead of Mother's Day on Sunday, have Mother's Day observed on Monday or Tuesday or whatever happens to work for you. Maybe you could even take some paid time off from your job if that is an option and go to the spa on that day. And so that way you get the best of both worlds.
I'm totally doing this, and I'm also taking my birthday observed. And no, I am not bundling them to one day because that would not be fair to me. So I love this idea. I think that's great. And it's true. That's not, I mean, the family wants to spend time with you. You want to celebrate being a mother by enjoying time with your family. But then to have a little bit of extra time on another day is such a beautiful idea. So thank you for that idea, Patreon member. And we also will go beyond that in terms of managing your energy to make sure, and we talk about this during the holidays too, so this is a recurring theme, but make sure you have something during this season that you are looking forward to. So, Laura, what is that going to be for you in May?
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, I haven't been running as much, so I mean, often would be runs somewhere pretty that I enjoy, but I think even having some weekend downtime where I am not running around after kids, especially if I get the house to myself. Oh, I love that. But I like going to botanical gardens. I might do some of that in May, going on a walk somewhere. I like going out to eat. Like my husband and I have often been doing casual dinners on Friday night on the nights when we have childcare for Henry's. That can be a fun thing too. Obviously, I sing with my choir. That's something I do almost every weekend, although I can see that there are going to be several May weekends where I'm not going to make it to church because of various things. And so it's like, ah, well, you know, but just think about this, like what's going to be restorative for you over the course of a weekend, even if there is a ton of community or family related activities that you need to do. I mean, how about you, Sarah? What is it that adds to your energy levels?
Yeah, I mean, on the weekends, I love really, it's non-negotiable getting in that long run, usually on Saturday morning. I love doing a date night of some kind on Saturday, or at least a family like out to dinner kind of a night. And like you, I just enjoy some total downtime. Like if I can get on the couch for 2+ hours while the kids are having some device time one afternoon, then that is considered a huge win in my book. And I usually will read and then I'll fall asleep and it's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. Well, and your non-negotiables too. I mean, you get your morning routine, you're running during the week as well. I know that even on a very busy day, you tend to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that my non-negotiables are usually during the time when everybody else is asleep. So it makes it work for me. But I mean, yeah, that is not something that I would be happy to give up just because our season happens to be busier. It's still really, really important to me. And certain elements of it still feel like treats to me, even though it's just a regular old Monday. I meet with a group two of those days, and those are just like built-in fun time where I'm getting to do something that is purely something I look forward to and enjoy.
Yeah, I've become more militant about my bedtime, which isn't that early, but you know, I have to be up at around 6:30 most mornings during the week. And so bedtime lights out has to be 11. That's 7.5 hours. And so pretty much no matter what happens, I'm going to be in bed at 11 o'clock. And I've found that if I do that regularly, I just feel a lot better about life. So I've been trying to do that. And just one thing that can make like the downtime you do have more fun with getting outside, and especially those of us who are in a place where the weather does start getting nicer that time of year. We've been doing a lot of what we call toad time. That is time outside after dinner. And, you know, I just sit outside in the nice weather and the kids play on the swing set or run around the yard or ride their bikes up and down the driveway or something. And that's feels like it's a little bit more low key on the nights that we do have that option. It's just a reminder that even during busy stretches, it's not over the top busy, right? There does tend to still be some space.
I like the openness of toad time too, because, you know, it can be a little kid playing on a swing set, but it could also be, you know, a big kid just moving their homework outside and doing it in a nicer setting, or everybody enjoying, like, I don't know, popsicles outside or something like that. Like it can be so flexible. It can be taking a dog for a walk and just enjoying better weather. So yeah, I like the openness of that, even if it's not necessarily as easily executable where we are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys can do toad. Well, Problem is then it's still dark, but the time. I don't know.
I call it mosquito time around then.
Yes, that seems a little bit less appealing. All right. So these are some ways that we can think about December. I mean, making sure everything is on the calendar, making sure that we spot conflicts ahead of time so we can strategize to solve them, making sure that you still have enough time to work, particularly for those with flexible schedules, and then managing your energy to make sure that you are not feeling like you are completely depleted by the end of this, that even the busiest weekends have something that you personally are still looking forward to. So this listener question, kids at weddings. This is obviously wedding season, May, June. What do you think, Sarah? Kids at weddings, yes or no?
I mean, as a general rule, this depends on the vibe that the bride and groom want. So I'm happy to generally oblige either way. I enjoy both kinds of events. However, the caveat is kind of like relating to the kids' ages, where I have found that family events have recently become fun, but only fairly recently. Like I'd say when Genevieve turned 5 or so, the age where you can basically let them run with their big siblings and not worry that something catastrophic is going to happen within a relatively closed environment. When you have like that toddler and they want to invite kids and the whole family, yes, I get that it's pretty in the pictures to have this cute little cherubic, you know, flower girl running around, but I personally found it a bit of a killjoy. So one compromise would be to bring the big kids who can have fun and are still cute and maybe leave the baby home with a sitter if it is a kids are invited type of wedding, because really the little one's not going to have memories from the event anyway and everybody else's time will be elevated. But adult only events are great too. I don't complain if I get, you know, unless it's like if my sister like was having a wedding and didn't invite my kids, I might be a little offended because it's like we're that close of a relationship. But beyond that, I mean, I'm fine. Adults only is fun. Then you get to be a grown up and party and enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely, I would say kids under 5, somebody's going to need to watch them the entire time. So somebody will not be participating in most of the adult conversations or the ceremony and enjoyment of the wedding. So you just have to know that going in. And, you know, you could split this, or you can also just, if it's not that particular person's family, maybe they might be willing to take one for the team. I know that my husband wound up chasing Henry around my little brother's wedding. That was, you know, when he was, oh boy, like a toddler. And he was just everywhere. And so Michael took him and I could talk to my family, and that was great. But, you know, it wouldn't have worked for both of us to be able to interact with people given that reality. So yeah, kids under 5, really just think through that reality. And one option, you bring them for part of the time, like particularly if this is somewhere you've like gone somewhere and you have a hotel room there, maybe you can bring the little kids for a little bit so they get in the photos, and then you book a sitter at the hotel. They go back and watch movies and order pizza from room service, and you can go have the conversations with relatives and friends for a few hours and then come back. And that might be a way to have kind of best of both worlds with little ones and weddings. All right. So love of the week, Sarah, what are you enjoying this week?
Well, we had a recent trip to do some kids shopping, and I think I still stand behind Abercrombie Kids being my current favorite kids retailer. Like the price point is not super low, but they have sales. It seems like it's well made. My kids like the styles, but I like them too, which is not always going to be true. And so right now, they're kind of like our number one go-to for tween and little, not necessarily boys as much, because Cameron's much more into like Nike, Under Armour, whatever. But I guess for the girls, we're into Abercrombie Kids.
Awesome. Well, my love of the week is going to be wireless chargers. So I probably should bite the bullet and buy a new iPhone. I've had mine since the beginning of 2019. So it has made it through over 5 years, which I think is impressive for a phone. But the plug part basically stopped working. Like I can't plug it in, you know, and charge it with a regular wall charger. So I bought a couple of wireless chargers, which are fairly inexpensive. So you plug the, it's like a little sphere, well, flat circle, and that gets plugged into the wall. And then you put your phone on top of it and it charges the phone that way. And that works. So it doesn't matter that the little port doesn't work anymore. Again, I probably need to bite the bullet and buy a new phone, but this has bought me another few months. So, I mean, you know, it's more economical doing it that way. And I just put it down on my desk. It's chugged in and my phone is constantly charging and it's awesome.
Cool. Great to extend the life of your electronics.
Yes, I know. I like to use things up when at all possible. Well, this has been Best of Both Worlds. We've been talking all things May, how to survive and perhaps even thrive in what tends to be a very busy month for people with school-age kids. We will be back next week with more on making work and life fit together.
Thanks for listening. You can find me, Sarah, at theshoebox.com or at @the_shoebox on Instagram.
And you can find me, Laura, at lauravanderkam.com. This has been the Best of Both Worlds podcast. Please join us next time for more on making work and life work together.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.